We thank Mary Catherine and Anne for sharing their gifts with us this morning. I hope you noticed just how color-coordinated Anne is this morning. Her mask matches her dress and her sash. Now that is pretty. That's pretty darn stylish. Speaking of style, I can't help but note that even though it's not in the bulletin, the flowers this morning are from Beverly Corley's service yesterday. Beverly, of course, was a stylish dresser and loved fashion design. So these beautiful flowers are just a note left by her family in response to her service yesterday. I only do one verse this morning, but it is an important verse, though you may not understand its importance. Romans, the 16th chapter, the 22nd verse. I, Tertius, the writer of this letter, greet you in the Lord. I, Tertius, the writer of this letter, greet you in the Lord. Now, sometimes when I get a little feisty and perversive mood, I like to torment my more fundamentalist friends by saying to them, you know, Paul didn't write any of the letters in the Bible. And as they spume and sputter, I say, now listen to me. My source for this is none other than Paul himself. Now, I'm not saying that the words, the lofty words, the profound theology, the extraordinary style, the majestic power of his diction, I'm not saying that Paul didn't author that. He did. But he didn't write any of his letters. Owing to the injuries that he suffered over the course of his long ministry, and over the fact that his eyesight was deteriorating, like many of us, we can appreciate that. He couldn't write his letters. He couldn't put pen to paper. So he needed to dictate them to an amanuensis, a recording secretary. All of his letters were dictated. But only once do we have the amanuensis step out from behind the curtain and identify himself. I, Tertius, the writer of this letter, greet you. Now, we don't know beans about Tertius. We have absolutely no idea of anything about him except that he must have shared a name with his father and grandfather, because the name Tertius means third, the equivalent of our English word tray. Other than that, we know nothing about him. And the truth is, if you will go tonight and look at the 16th chapter of Romans, you will find that we don't know virtually anything about the host of names that Paul mentions in that chapter. Aquila, Priscilla, Timothy, maybe Rufus, it's the same guy we know earlier. Other than that, all of the names that he mentions are completely unknown to us. And in that truth, there is a thrilling theological realization. The fact that Paul takes time to give salutations and thanks to a host of people of whom we know nothing about makes a profound theological point. These people were in the church in Rome, in the center of the Roman Empire, establishing the Christian movement there. But most of their names are unrecorded. Most of their actions are unnoticed. Most of their deeds were unsung. They lived, they believed, they bled, they died for the faith. But most of it is completely unrecorded. And yet, Paul knew of their efforts. And their ministry was important to him. It made his life a little less lonely. It made his work a little more possible. It made his faith a little happier to realize that he had a host of believers helping him in his great cause. The very genius and the limitations of Paul are contained within that one phrase, "I, Tertius, the writer of this letter, greet you in the Lord." Understand, Paul would have been delighted to allow Tertius to step out for a moment and share the limelight, because he believed in the indispensability and the interdependence and the complete vitality and necessity of a great host of believers. His most fundamental image of the church was the body of Christ. The body of Christ. And as he said time and again, it doesn't matter if you're in the vocal cords of Christ, or the eyes of Christ, or the hands of Christ, or the feet of Christ. You're all a part of the body of Christ. It doesn't matter if your role is prominent or obscure. Everything matters. Everyone contributes. Everyone is a constituent element in the body of Christ, regardless of how high or how low is your profile, regardless of how important or obscure are your gifts. Everyone matters. Everyone contributes. And if anyone does not fulfill their role to the utmost, the entire body of Christ suffers. Tertius could not have written the book of Romans without Paul. But Paul couldn't have written the book of Romans without Tertius or someone like him. Paul recognized that the body of Christ depended upon the interdependence, the vitality, the sacrificial investment, the collegial spirit of everyone in the body. Collegiality describes the very body of Christ. Collegiality. Yes. It may surprise you, college students up there, to realize that the word college describes the body of Christ better than you might imagine. How so? In that chaotic period known as the Dark Ages, there were very few places where education, higher education, could take place. So scholars would wander from city to city, finding a place where they could attract students. But because these scholars were outsiders, foreigners, they were often subject to attack or manipulation, and so scholars began to band together. They banded together in fortified buildings that became known as collegiums. They taught together, they worked together, they contributed together, and if necessary, they even fought together in order to make education possible. So the word collegium eventually gave rise to our word college. These group of scholars realized it took everyone's contribution, everyone's effort, everyone's investment in order to make their family work. Collegiality. And the point those scholars understood was the very point that understands the very nature of the body of Christ. Everyone matters. Everyone contributes. Everyone counts to the health of the whole. Baptist have embedded this concept deep in our theology. Because central to our understanding of the Christian faith is everyone is a priest. There is no spiritual caste system. There is no spiritual distinction between clergy and laity, or between committee chair or committee member or committee liaison or just basic old church member. We're all equally important in the eyes of our God. We're all equally important to the body of our Christ. And yet even though we may mentally ascribe to the notion of the priesthood of all believers, the indispensability of each person, in our modern world, where populations are measured in billions, where cities are often populated by millions, it is sometimes hard to hold on to the notion of the indispensability of each individual. It's hard sometimes to recognize the interdependence of everyone upon each other. And yet the indispensability of each minister, each believer, is central to our faith and is something we must hold on to. One person's actions can make an extraordinary difference in the health of an entire enterprise. There may be a few of you who are World War II buffs. I wonder if you managed to catch some years ago the History Channel's focus upon the story of a single great British battleship called the Belfast. The Belfast was responsible for securing the last Allied naval victory in European waters. Huge battleship with an extraordinarily gifted tactical commander. And the History Channel noted the symphony of actions between this commander and the other battleships in the cause. And the delicate dance that these gun crews would do to take shells and to load them and to fire them with uncanny accuracy. And the hundreds of sailors scurrying about to make all of these intricate movements possible. But then the History Channel noted one more thing. Deep in the bowels of that humongous battleship was a single, solitary, low-grade machinist. And this individual who had no idea what was happening with the admirals or with the gun crews or with the sailors, this one solitary, low-grade machinist realized the engine to that great battleship was overheating. So he hooked up a hose, and deep in the bowels of the ship, he irrigated the engine of that battleship to keep its temperature just low enough to function. Topside, a great victory was being accomplished, and admirals and gun crews and sailors were celebrating. But nobody realized that the great victory was due to the initiative and creativity and contributions of one lowly machinist. One person's actions can make a huge difference in the health of the whole. We're in the midst of creating the 2021 budget. It is not an easy task to do amidst the pandemic. Trying to anticipate our needs amidst the worst economic depression since the Great Depression is a challenge. I can tell you frankly, without the money received from the payroll protection plan, we would have had to go deep into our reserves. Fortunately, we haven't, not only because of that, but because of your faithfulness to this fellowship. Whether you're with us here presently or worshiping with us, I want to thank you for your faithfulness to this fellowship, even when you have not been able to attend. Your tithes and your offerings have made a difference in helping keep our ministry possible. And now we look toward another uncertain year. I mean, who would have imagined going into 2020 that we would be spending money on new air filters, sophisticated air filters, and sanitizing our facility, and a host of other things dealing with COVID-19, which none of us anticipated. Who knows what expenses we will have to do? I mean, our live streaming budget, who knew it would have to triple in 2020? Who knows what it'll be in 21? And I know that for many of you, your circumstances are such that it is difficult even to give what you can to this fellowship, and I understand that. But years ago, during another recession, I had a very wise business manager, and she said to me, "You know, if everyone who could would raise their pledge or their tithe by $5 a week, about the cost of a McDonald's Happy Meal, if everybody would raise their tithe to the church $5 a week, it would make a tremendous difference." Now, there are those of you in circumstances where that's not possible, but for those of us for whom it might be, even that little Happy Meal extra donation a week would have an impact. Every gift, every pledge, every tithe makes a difference. What is a pledge? A pledge is nothing but a promise. It's not a contract. It's just a promise between you and God, an expression of your willingness to invest in God's fellowship. And keeping a promise can be incredibly important. And oftentimes we think, hey, my pledge is too small. My gift, my tithe is too insignificant to make a difference. Every person's contribution counts. Everyone's gift matters. I'm willing to bet that the savviest political scientist in here has never heard of Henry Shoemaker. And yet every one of us in some way owes our lives to Henry Shoemaker. 1842, summer of 1842, Henry Shoemaker is a common laborer. And he's working in the field when he realizes, dang, I promised my friend Madison Marsh I would go vote for him for state legislator in the State House of Indiana. A promise is a promise. He leaves the field, gets on his horse, rides to the polling place, casts his vote for his friend Madison Marsh, who wins his position as state legislator in Indiana by one vote. Henry Shoemaker. In those days, the state legislators elected the senators that went to the United States. After a frozen ballot, deadlocked, and five ballots, Madison Marsh changed his vote so that a man named Edward Hannigan would become the next senator of Indiana by one vote. 3 years later, The Senate was embroiled in another controversy. Imagine that. Deadlocked over the issue of whether or not to go into armed conflict with Mexico, and after a prolonged battle of deadlocked votes, Edwin Hannegan changed his vote, and the U.S. went to war by one vote and gained the state of California. A year or so later, the state of Texas applied for acceptance into the Union, and the Senate was deadlocked until Edwin Hannegan changed his vote and allowed Texas into the Union by one vote. Nobody remembers Henry Shoemaker. We think of the boundaries of our country as having been divinely ordained from the history of time. No. In many ways, our future was defined by the faithfulness of one man to a promise to his friend that he'd ride his horse on election day up to the polls and cast his one vote. Everyone matters. I'm rarely surprised by what church committees do, but one year I was. The stewardship committee in a church where I pastored passed out offering plates. Not surprising. But their instructions to people were, don't put money in, take money out. And in the offering plates were a bunch of silver dollars. And they asked everyone in the congregation to pull out a silver dollar, stick it in their pocket, and walk around with that all week long to remind them how much they brought away from church every week. How greatly blessed they were to be a part of the fellowship of God. How privileged they were to be a part of God's family, to be a part of the body of Christ. And how important it was for each person with that coin to help fund the work of Christ in our community. Walk around all week with that silver dollar. I was amazed that over the next couple of weeks, not only was every silver dollar returned, but the promises of our congregation to up their gifts to the fellowship were multiplied. When you go home today, open the 16th chapter of Romans and read it. I guarantee you, you won't recognize any of the names for the most part. What they did was unsung, but essential. What they did brought them no acclaim, but was mighty impact. They remain completely unknown to us, but every one of them was known to God. And they together helped found a movement and a living drama of faith of which you and I are privileged to be a part. May we understand how privileged we are to be constituent elements in the body of Christ. And may we do our part in this drama with all of the courage and passion and commitment of which we are capable. May we pray together. Lord, may each of us in our own way be a Tertius. Maybe not anyone famous. Maybe not anyone in the limelight. Maybe not anyone whose deeds are remembered or recorded. But may we do our part in the ongoing saga of our Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.